Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, brought to you by Simply Faster, the industry's leading sports technology provider and coach education platform. I get the honor today to sit down with the Director of Youth and High School Development at Play and the co-founder of the National High School Strength Coaches Association, Gary Schofield.
Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, hosted by high school strength and conditioning coach, Cody Hughes. This ain't your normal podcast, y'all. He's bringing real discussions about real strategies to improve the student athlete development and preparation process. New episodes every Friday with guests who are all about keeping it real. It'll warn you now. You might get your feelings hurt. The mics are on. The takes are hot. Enjoy this episode. Here's your host, Cody Hughes.
Got a legend in the building today, guys. Coach Sko, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Just glad you could stop by. Just, you know, Coach Sko happened to be stopping by on his making his rounds and seeing coaches around the state and his area and happened to stop by MA this morning. So, man, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, man, it's an honor. It's an honor. I enjoyed coming back here 2 years ago, I guess, when I came by the first time. And love what you do. Love why you do it more.
Right,
and,
right.
Man, I'm all in board.
Yeah, if you guys don't know Coach Schofield, first off, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking background because, first off, he's been on too many podcasts. Go listen to another podcast. Listen to his great upbringing. He's got a really cool history of being an athletic trainer and being a strength coach and his time with the Atlanta Hawks and all the stuff that you did, man, and his time at GAC and what he's doing with Play in the NHSSEA. But we're not going to waste time there. Go hit back. If you don't know Coach Schofield and you want to hear his history, go just Google his or search his name in Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and you'll learn plenty. But for today, we're going to bring you a lot of content about high school strength conditioning. And this man right here has got a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of wisdom. And I told him to stop talking earlier off air because I was like, dude, we got too many golden nuggets going on right here, man. Like, hush, let's push record and let's let the people hear what we got to say. But we're just going to continue our conversation of what we're talking about, of how important it is for the interaction. Our first topic that we kind of just came up naturally was the interaction between the guy who runs the weight room, whether it be designated strength coach or D-line coach, whoever, right? And the interaction with the struggles they're having with their head coach on how to plan things, you know, and get things right. So let's just start talking on that and let's see where it takes us.
Yeah. Like you said, man, the minute someone brings a team in and works out in a weight room, they're the strength coach. Yeah. I mean, let's get past that stuff. When people want to be identified by a title or by a certification, it's not. It's by what you do. Mm-hmm. And so your actions dictate, you know, kind of part of what you are, and maybe not who you are, but what you do. So we talk about that in what we're trying to do and what we're trying to develop. And really the basis of the National High School Strength Coach Association was built, I hate to tell you this, it wasn't built for me and you, because we're going to connect through what other governing bodies out there, or whatever continuing education process that's out there, but we want to connect the disconnected. So how do we get, because I've never met, I really haven't, and I know they probably exist, and when we joke about it, they probably do exist, but I've never met a sport coach that says, you know what, I want to make my kids worse today. I want to get them hurt. I want them to be slower. Let's do the wrong thing today. Hey guys, guess what? We're going to do the wrong thing today. I've never met that person. So the intent is great. We talked about this before. Like everyone says, oh, trust the process, process, process. But if the outcome blows, the process probably follows. Like at some point, the outcome and the end has to matter.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to develop the athletes the right way and develop the athletes that you have, not develop the athletes you don't have? What do I mean by that? I've heard people, well, hey, the University of Alabama, they do this with their bodyweight squats. And I'm like, yes, how many University of Alabama football players do you have on your team? Like, why are you following things that don't exist? I think at the high school levels, about 94%. You should be programming, building based upon the 94, not the 6. What do I mean by that? The 6% of kids, when I was at Greater Atlanta Christian over 20 years, they go on to play collegiate ball. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all. And I'm not talking like big time. That includes big time, just small time, ball, right? D3, yep. NAIA, 6%. If you're programming for the 6%, doesn't mean we ignore them. I'm not telling you that. But what I'm telling you is the 94 gets lost when you're trying to copy a program from somebody else.
Yeah.
Don't do that. What are we going to do? Like Fred Eves talks about slow cooking process. What are we going to do that develops them right physically, emotionally, spiritually, and socially in that weight room. And believe me, everything we do from sets and reps to the signs on the walls to the way in which we talk to them has an impact on that.
Very much so.
So, you know, with the Spark Coach, it's listen, we're pulling on the same rope. We're pulling on the same rope. I want to give you faster, better, more holistic kids that understand team and understand individual and their role in the team. And, you know, I want to build on that, you know, and I think older coaches like me, I think it gets real easy to say, oh, it was better in the past. You know, kids, you would just tell kids to do something, they would do it. Or you would tell them to do it because they're at Madison Academy and the tradition of Madison Academy matters. And there's been a shift. Listen, there's been a shift in culture. It's no longer about the tradition of the place that they're at. It's about how do they fit into that tradition? What's their role going to be?
No doubt.
It's no longer about the coach. It's about the player. And it's not about and people hear that and they think, oh, well, they're just being selfish. No, they're not. They just want to know their place and how they matter. And I think if we, because coaches don't shift that way, I think we're going to lose that. We're going to lose that battle, and we're going to lose that soul that's in that room. And I did that for far too often, man. I always tell people, I wish I had a way back machine. People talk, oh, you know, he's a legend and he's this and he's that. Complete transparency, I wish I had a machine to go back and change.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, I wouldn't change what I did. You know, I would. If I had that machine outside of here, poop, I'd be gone. And I would change that. And I'd be glad for no one to know me if I could do it better than I did it.
Yeah.
And that's what drives me. And I know that's what drives you with this podcast. It's like, let's connect people to the things that matter. And, you know, when a sport coach, you know, what are you after? So most sport coaches, what are they chasing? Chasing wins.
Yeah. Chasing wins. Dubs.
And I get it because they say, well, my job's on the line for that. Well, then shame on the admin. Shame on the admin for creating an environment that wins at a high school level or why somebody carries a job. Now, listen, we just said the outcome should matter.
Yes.
I'm not telling you we don't pursue wins, but man, that shouldn't be the thing. How are you developing people technically? How are you developing people tactically? How are you developing them physically and spiritually or socially? How are you doing that? And you better have a plan. And you better be held accountable to that plan. You want to change the game, have the admin change the way we get evaluated.
You know, I think you're hitting a nail on the head here. And you can even talk about it at the college level. Because if you don't have some type of accountability in place and looking at planning, that's when the head coach jumps ahead of that AD and now he runs the show. Because you didn't really put that in place or have the power to know that. I mean, we just talked about a sport coach who is so skilled at winning games. But if it's not getting everything else, that your school actually had the, you know, the courage, really, because it ain't going to look good in the public eye to not renew a contract of a coach that brought you a really highly ranked team and we're going to win a lot of ball games. But when you look at the development of the kids holistically, no, that's not what we want. And I'm going to be honest, that took a ton of courage. Had to have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but when you're grounded in what you know and how you want to help these kids and understand it's greater than that. I mean, that's what drew me to this job very much so is, I mean, I've had opportunities to leave. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've had plenty of people call me and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I'm like, man, it's deeper than the check I get written every month. It's enough. But what I get to do here and what our admin allow me, I mean, the reason people make fun of me for my title as Director of Human Performance, like, oh, you're fancy, you're a strength coach. I'm like, I agree. But it's also about like developing the spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional skill sets of these young people so that once they leave here, they have skill sets and tools in their toolbox to be able to function really well in our society. You know, and that's where we can segue real into administrators. If I hope you're listening to this, do you understand how powerful a strength coach in your program can do that for you if you hire the right way and hold and set him up for success, set her up for success, whatever that is? And I know there's a lot of hurdles in the public arena as far as teaching certificates and stuff. I think that the NHSSC is doing a phenomenal job of educating on how to get over that hurdle. Like in college, you can't just do exercise science and get into education. It doesn't work that way, right? So like, how powerful can a high school strength coach be outside of just helping our athletes be better athletes?
Yeah, it's the part of our job that's important. And if you're just focused on bigger, faster, stronger, or just wins, you're trying to solve every issue on your campus with a hammer. Why are you leaving all the rest of the tools in the toolbox? why are you not unleashing something that could make radical change in a community? I'm confused all the time when you're going to focus on one aspect and one aspect only of the positive change. Yeah, winning is great. It brings recognition. It brings excitement. It can unify a community. I think all those things are great. But if that's the only tool that you're using in your tool shed and you have an individual, male or female, that can radically change a community and you have chosen not to allow them access, you know, most coaches are going to tell you, hey, listen, I want to be empowered, right? I don't want you to tell me how to do stuff. Same thing with an admin is want to say, I'm empowered to run my show the way I want to run my show. But here's the deal. Empowerment without accountability is entitlement. You can't run around. I need to be held accountable for the words I use. I need to be held accountable for the actions that I take and don't take, both as an admin, both as a coach, as an athlete. So, you know, everyone loves that word. I want to be empowered, but no one likes the word accountable. And words matter, like we talked about out there. Words do 100%. Matter.
Big time.
Words drive emotions. Words drive actions or inactions. It's one of the biggest things that I wish I could go back and change some of the words that came out of this skull. I wish I could do that.
Me too, man.
You know, and it's, unfortunately, you learn as you go. I wish we could learn before. And that's the whole idea of trying to get good mentors in your life so that they have walked down a path and they can share with you and say, hey, listen, in order for you to be the next best version of yourself, and that's the best way to put it, because none of us will be the best version. We'll just be the next best version, I hope.
Yes.
Tomorrow I'm better than today. We do that in the weight room. We talk about that with our kids in the weight room all the time. You know, we want them to be the next best version. Just attack the day to be the next best version. We do day by day, little by little, get better every day, and you'll be better in the end. So we need to focus on that as coaches. Listen, better people make better coaches. And people always ask me, how do I be a better coach? I'm like, focus on being a better person.
Yeah.
Have clear identity. Do you know what your mission is?
Man, that's powerful.
And when people don't even know what their mission is, I'm like, how are the decisions you make every day protecting? What is it protecting? If you don't have a mission, it's not protecting that mission. Jeremy Boone, great friend of mine, talks about protecting your mission all the time. And I really, that's where a big change for me came about, you know, three years ago, maybe 4 years ago, where I decided, you know what? I don't have clarity in my mission. And because I don't have clarity in my mission, then my decisions are void. And so I had to really regain that and look at that. And then from that mission came, you know, core behaviors that I think drive actions. And then every day I can evaluate those actions and see where I need to grow. And I think that's where wisdom comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's powerful. Just you saying better people make better coaches, you know, and I can see how that can be tough. I've heard a phrase lately that makes a lot of sense is hire slow, fire fast. You know, like, do you have a thorough process in hiring and who you're bringing into this environment, to this dynamic of more than just their ability to coach or scheme or, you know, the X's and O's part. I had a kid in here yesterday named Austin Troxel, plays O-line at Auburn. And, you know, they just had a huge coaching change in football there. And he was talking about how the head coach, he's like, you know, he doesn't talk much X's and O's. He talks about character off the field, and that's something we needed. And him just blurbing that to me refreshed me, you know, hearing that at the college level. And I know there's a million others doing it great. You know, I don't want to put it off or think that other coaches weren't doing that. But just hearing that and how I could tell that was refreshing for him, that process is on how you approach things now and the decisions you make and how we approach things with our kids. Like, you understand that you're building habits and you're building reactionary tendencies that you're going to approach in other areas of your life, you know, and building that holistic person starts with who's leading, what kind of person is leading. You know, you hire good people. Those people are leading young people. You know, you can look at records, you can look at, I mean, and like we said earlier, good people don't want to lose. Like, it's not like it's about not winning.
When people hear us talk about that, you know, the first thing they say is, you know, you just don't get your guys stronger or you don't get them faster. And I'm like, man, that absolutely drives a lot of what I do every day, but it's not the sole driving energy. Like, that's not the only thing that identifies who I am and what I do and who, because you know, there is an attraction to that, but it's limited. That's that transactional component, but where's the transformational component? Everyone wants to read that book and talk about it, but no one wants to actually act it. And it's like, it's so funny to me. We want to talk about those things, or if we talk about the transformational components, it's as if we're belittling the transactional components. Listen, they can exist. They can exist. You can win state championships. You can develop great athletes. You can do it the right way. You can also do it the wrong way. You know, and I think that's where you should pursue. I think too many of us pursue. Here's what happens in our profession as strength coaches, specifically at the high school level. And I would probably say this carries on past it, but I like to speak about what I know.
Right.
I leave alone what I don't. Is that we spend an inordinate amount of time learning about velocity-based training. We spend an inordinate amount of time learning about technology or reps or West Side method or dynamic effort or Olympic lifting or functional movement screens or dynamic warm-up movement assessments or nutrition, whatever it might be. The reality is when we start diving in, and one of the blessings that I have that play allows me to go and travel around and get to know coaches and connect with them, one of the things that I spend and ask them all the time is like, show me your professional development over next year, your plan for professional development. First of all, you'd be rocked by how many people don't have a professional development plan. What they do is they just hear something on social media and they go, oh, that's what I'm going to learn about next week. Mm-hmm. That's kind of crazy. Like, you should have a plan, because if you don't have a plan, it's really hard to execute. And execution is really key to getting, you know, how do you set goals if you don't have a plan? I don't understand how, because then you can't execute. If you can't execute, you're never going to really, you're just going to be skipping around all the time.
Yeah.
So I think you should have a plan, right? And I think it should be built upon I believe there's 12 kind of domains of strength and conditioning. We can talk about that later if you want. But afterwards, after we get all that down, and that sounds good, and we spend a lot of time there, the key, that wasn't even the question. That was just the knock on the door for me to get them to open. The next one is, all right, where's your personal development? Show me how you're going to develop personally. How do you reflect on that? How do you grow on that? In what areas? And crickets go. And I'm like, listen, we just said better people make better coaches. So how are you trying to get better? What path? Who are you connecting with? Who are you socializing with? Who do you familiarize yourself with in growing as a person? And they're lost.
Yeah, there's just like in the weight room. The weight room's not disconnected from the field. It's interdependent, right? They're all connected because we're people. And me and Andy talked about this on the last episode about this phenomenon of dynamic complexity, how you can make one decision, it can go really good, or you can make one decision, it can go really bad. And you can also have other factors in your life that are going to affect. And you hear this blurb all the time from coaches of, if you get stuck in a rut of, when I'm at work, I'm thinking about home. When I'm home, I'm thinking about work. Or maybe your marriage isn't going really well. Maybe there's some things out of sort. Do not think for one second, you know, coaches will be like, don't let your personal life get in the way of your professional life. Like, those kids don't deserve that. And I go, guess what, buddy? You can't do that.
Yeah.
There's no way. Yeah. I instantly became a better coach when I started putting my marriage first. Because that was a big story line in my story, even though I've been doing this for 5 years full time at this point. When I decided to step away from the college level, guys, I didn't do it because I wasn't making enough money, or I saw my marriage going downhill, guys. Like, I admit that openly. And I decided to put that first, that was not okay. You know, like, we've got to make a change, because I was gone. I was not prepared as a young 22-year-old, 23-year-old, to work 80-hour weeks, leave my wife at home in a city 12 hours away from no family. She knows nobody. And I get home and I'm tired and I'm just like, you just, you know what you signed up for? Man, that's the biggest excuse I've ever heard. So that's just a personal blurb on my side of, when my personal life started to improve because I got my priorities in order.
Yeah.
I became such a better coach.
Yeah.
Holy cow, man. It was insane how much better I connected with my kids and started seeing transformation rather than just transaction, like you talked about.
Yeah, 100%. So it's why, I mean, we share that. And again, some people may have heard the story, but, you know, my leaving the school, fantastic place, very similar to here, very similar. Like, man, until I had this job, I thought it was the greatest job that I could ever have had, and very blessed. And that's no shot at it now. I'm in a pretty good place, but people are like, why'd you leave? You could have been there. You've 10, 20 years, one more, no doubt could have. But the reality is, I wasn't the father, the friend, the spouse, or the son that I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And at some point that hit me. And I wish I was you. This is the back time. I wish I was 25 when it hit me. I wasn't. I was 45 when it hit me. And too many kids called me coach while my kids didn't get the opportunity to call me dad.
Ooh.
And that drove the decision to say, it's too late. Like, I have my daughter's graduating next week. And my son lives in Utah and he's got his own life, but I have a wife at home. And I said, you know what? And it's about me too. It's listen, we always like, well, it's about our family. It's about our wife. It's also about you. You're going to lose you. I was losing me in Coach Sko. Oh. And my ego was out of check. There was a lot of stuff. Like, Coach Sko isn't Gary Schofield. And my ego got lost in that. And I needed to, listen, I talk about this all the time. There's roadblocks and obstacles in life. And coaches need to hear this clearly. Because what we, because listen, some people can do it greatly. You're doing an amazing job now. There are coaches out there, Fred Eves and Kevin Vanderbush, and my replacement, Rich Burnett at GAC, does it fantastically well. I'm not telling you this can't exist. I'm not shooting the profession down. But at some point you have to say, is coaching an obstacle that I can get around? I can maintain the profession. I can stay where I'm at and grow where I'm at. Or is it a roadblock? For me, it became a roadblock. And I needed to find a new way to go do what I would love to do in a new way. And that's, you know, people too often say, well, coaching's my passion. That's the mistake.
Yeah.
What you need to do is live life with passion. When you're chasing a passion, you're going to run into a lot of issues in life. You're going to run into a lot of issues in life. You should be able to do everything. Literally, at one point in my life, I was a medical trainer at Delta Airlines servicing people that like hurt their back when they were jamming bags underneath a plane. That job blew, but you should know it from the outside. You should be like, man, this guy loves doing what he's doing, because every job, that's where this whole make the big time where you're at is, should be done with passion. If you can't do it with passion, why are you doing it?
Yeah. That's a personal thing too. It's seeing how somebody approaches something tells me what I know about about Gary Schofield, not Coach Sko.
That's right? Correct.
Like, if Coach Sko is passionate in the weight room, and as soon as the music turns off, the training cards are turned in, the school bell rings, and we get outside and you're walking to your truck and an athlete wants to talk to you and you're like, you turn off?
Yeah.
Whoa, man, you're missing
not authentic.
It. You not are authentic. Missing yep. the point.
Yep.
Not right. And I think you're totally true. And I think, I mean, I've been caught up in this of don't chase a passion, because guys, the passion looks like a rainbow, but there's no pot of gold at the end of it. You're just going to lose it. It's going to disappear by the time you get there, and you put in all this energy and effort to be left with what? Yourself. Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Are you happy with yourself and who you've become on that journey?
Yeah.
Chasing that pot of gold, because I hate to break it to you, but it ain't there.
Yeah. It's going
to
be empty. And you probably won't be yourself. You'll be whatever you tried to become to get to that point. And that's what it is. You become whatever. For me, it was becoming this entity of Coach Sko or whatever it might've been instead of the person I was created to be. And then, and if you do that, you'll never be the great that you were born to be. I'm firmly believing that every one of us, every single one of us was born to be great. And I don't know what that is. I literally don't know what that is, but I want to kind of find out. I'm like on that path now to find out. And it always brings up this question of, okay, this all sounds awesome, Cody and Gary. That's really cool. I'm really motivated. Where do I go? How do I start? Where's the process?
Good point.
You know, and I want to be a solutions guy. I don't want to be a pointer outer of problems, you know, whatever that might be.
Absolutely.
And I know that's why you did this podcast.
Yep.
And to me, it revolves around 8 concepts. It's really simple. People may or may not have heard me talk about this before, but these 8 concepts are true, tried and true. And I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're a coach or an admin or whatever, but I think it matters. And I think the first thing is starts with your belief. What do you really believe in? What do you really believe in? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Not what people think you should believe.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, that's right. Or not what a strength coach should believe in, or what people think of Coach Sko, or what that coach thinks I need to be. No. What do you really believe in? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What do you love to do? What do you really love to do? Well, I love to lift weights. What else do you love to do? There's probably a bigger list. What are you good at? Listen, what you're good at, you're probably going to spend a lot of time on.
Yep.
So what are you good at? What is it? And good at revolves around 2 concepts. One, stuff you're born with. Like, there's guys that are athletes that walk in here and they jump 30 inches.
Just
and
gifts, I go, man,
they're just gifts. We have gifts. Certain people can see things, write things, listen to things. You're a musician.
Yep.
Or come from a family of musicians.
I do. Yep.
So that's a gift. I don't know. A lot of people I know, they train, but there's a gift there. All right. But there's also stuff you've worked your fanny off to be good at.
Yes.
Like, I might have said 7 words in high school. People don't believe this.
No way.
Yeah. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. When you look back at, like, when I pull up some high school stuff, it's like, man, shy, like, you know, introverted, like, okay, man, Coach Schofield, like, what the, and yeah, but I've worked my can off because I know communication's key to being successful in this profession. So I've worked my butt. So when people are like, hey, you're a decent communicator, I'm like, hey, that's a big compliment. When they point out something that was just genetically a gift, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So those things that you're good at, but also, what does the world need? Not what is it, because that's an endless list. So what does the world need? I could go down that list, down and down and down, but here's the catch, that you're willing to do something about. Period. Well, homelessness. All right. Have you done anything? Have you gone to a soup kitchen? Have you fed anyone? Well, I gave the guy a dollar on a corner. Doesn't count. What are you willing to do?
Yeah.
And it's shocking how little we are willing to do. And we got to really challenge ourselves. And then at the end, it's what you can get paid for. And people always are paid. But listen, money isn't the problem. What we do with money is.
Yes.
So what is it? What is it that gets you out of bed? That's that Japanese term called ikigai. What is it that makes you rise every morning? That's where it all starts with. Your belief is your compass. If your compass is 1 degree off, if my plane, when I leave, if my plane is 1 degree off, one simple degree for every mile it flies, I'll be 92 miles off of my course. So I'm not going to get where I want to be if I'm 1 degree off. I want to do that. So that's my belief. And then what are we chasing every day? Because your belief now sets you up to what you chase, which is excellence, right? We're chasing excellence. All right. So at the end of every night, Cody, do you have a form where you go back and look at all the decisions? Hey, I met with Coach Schofield and I did this podcast today, or I talked to this kid, or I did this thing, and you judge them, the food that I ate, whatever it is. Was it an excellent choice or not? Does anyone do that?
You know, I try to. And the thing is, you get caught up in busy and you have to ground yourself. And there's some non-negotiables you have to have in your life to self-account. You have to be accountable for yourself. That belief portion, that's step one. We ain't even gotten down the road yet. Like we could unpack that. Just, how many coaches have been told what to believe rather than how about you sit in a room where it's quiet, turn your Twitter off, turn your IG feed off. Yeah. Turn this podcast off right now and sit.
Yeah.
And go, what do I believe in? What experiences have I had? What have I experienced? Have I critically thought in a while about anything? My job, my life, my relationships, my marriage, my whatever I'm doing. Can you critically think and then be honest? Because guess what? As soon as you're honest, you may look yourself in the mirror and go, I hate this guy. I don't like that. But that's good. That's great. You're figuring that out. Now you have an opportunity to do something about it, right? Now you're starting to live in honesty. And I don't think you can live with passion if you don't live with honesty. I don't know if you can. You know, that's tough. Like, I believe my passion and how I live my life, once it's guided and directed with my compass, starts with honesty. Yeah, about being honest.
Yeah, authenticity is key, right? So he's got to be truly authentic. And that's where you can get an actually livable mission statement. All right. So once you come out of that belief, you can get it. And, you know, I never, like I said, I was floating around with a lot of things. And, you know, eventually it was to engage, educate, and empower those that I come in contact with for them to be the next best version of themselves. And now every step I can go along the way, I can decide, did I protect that mission today? Did this choice to be here today protect that mission or not? Did the people that I hung with last night and the food that I ate and the drink that I drank, did that protect my mission at that moment? And sometimes I can say yeah, and sometimes I can say no.
Yes.
And then there's got to be core behaviors. Everyone talks about these things called core beliefs, and they're just words on a wall. But they're behaviors. If your beliefs aren't behaviors, they're not real beliefs. So what are your behaviors? And again, to be real fast, is, you know, it starts with that belief, and then it's excellence. So you pursue an excellent, depending on where I'm at, right? If my belief is off target, then what I think is excellent isn't excellence anymore. Yep. And then, okay, when I have excellence and I'm pursuing excellence, I'm going to start realizing it doesn't mean every decision is going to be excellent. That's what I was getting at before, is like, you're going to chart it and realize that you made good and bad decisions, but learning good and bad is where wisdom develops. So now that next step, that third step is, all right, I'm developing wisdom because I'm understanding the difference between right and wrong, true right and wrong decisions that are based upon my belief and pursuit of excellence. Then, okay, when I have that, I can develop discipline. When you see undisciplined athletes, or you see undisciplined coaches, or you see undisciplined teams, I'm telling you right now, it's not because they don't listen. It's because either their belief, their pursuit of excellence, or the ability to develop wisdom is off. Something is off that predates those three things.
Okay.
Those three things.
Okay.
Guarantee, team jumps off sides all the time. Well, they listen to the wrong voice. They're believing in something. Maybe they have a sport coach, or maybe they're a position coach, or maybe dad on the sidelines telling them to do something different. They're not, their belief is a little off.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're not focused during practice. Maybe they're not watching practice. Maybe they're too busy drinking and not focusing when they should be watching the backup guy when he goes to make sure that he's helping him up and you're helping each other up. But they're probably not even going down that path because they're not pursuing excellence. They're not making excellence. That's the loss in discipline. Discipline isn't yelling at a guy. Discipline isn't a penalty. Discipline's not burpees. Discipline is simply if this, like Jocko talks about, discipline's freedom. Yeah. Discipline's doing the things that you needed to do to get to where you're at so you can enjoy life and chase that passion. But that's discipline. Discipline is when you learn from wisdom the right and wrong, you do the right thing even when the wrong, even when no one's looking. You do the right thing even when you don't get a reward. You do the right thing even when you don't get playing time. You do the right thing even when no one recognizes you as a strength coach. Man, this guy's got a podcast and I don't have one. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And then when you have discipline, you develop the right attitude. You don't get this crazy attitude of me, 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 me. You realize that, man, it's just about other people.
Yeah.
It's about other people. And then you do the right thing over and over and over again. And that's that perseverance. We talked about it earlier. Everyone wants to talk about life that you need to grind things out. I need to grind things out. Yo, he's a grinder. I hate that word. I love the word grit.
Yeah.
Grit, you know, connotes perseverance and grit. And the difference between grit and grind isn't two letters. Grit and grind are two different things. If I get in this car and I'm driving home today and I start that car up and the gears grind, I'm not going to get very far.
Right.
If you're a grinder, eventually you're not going to get very far. Man, people should be the grease on the wheels, man. Our lives should be awesome. Like, not, that doesn't mean adversity is not going to be there. That's why you need grit and perseverance. Like, right. I'm going to have to overcome things, but I can do it without grinding. That's perseverance. Then when I get all of this idea and I understand it's not about me and I get a positive attitude instead of a negative attitude, then I can realize, and I know servant leadership gets shot down all the time. I think baloney, it should be, because you're going to start realizing that not only is it not about me, but it's about me helping you be better.
Yeah.
Whether it's my student athlete or it's a coach, it's not about Coach Go getting recognition, which it was for a long period of time.
Yeah.
It's about, Coach, how do I help you?
Yeah.
What experience, what minor experience did I have that I can share with you that helps you? And then here's the deal. When I get those seven things in order, that's where passion comes in. Yeah. And it's not chasing it, it's living it. Yeah. And when you can be in that place, even for a second, you never want to leave.
That process never ends either. That's one thing that I had to learn, was that this is a journey. This isn't a destination. That recurring process, you have these checks and balances in your life to protect your mission. If you will set up checks and balances, time for reflection. You know, I talked about, you know, I hosted the Alabama NHSSCA Alabama Clinic here back in March, and it was a great turnout here. And one thing that I started looking at just in my programming, now, I mean, this applies to my life too, of being able to evaluate, reverse engineer, execute. That's the three E's for me. Is evaluate what you're doing. This is it. That applies everywhere.
Yep.
Evaluate, reverse engineer or engineer and create the path. What does that look like? Right. How, and then execute that plan and then reevaluate again. Where are we at? You know, how do you have those processes set in place? Now you can literally use that across the board of your process, whether you're a sport coach and not winning games, or your team's undisciplined, you're not getting results in the weight room, your relationships with your coaches, with your coworkers, with your wife, your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, whoever isn't going well, go back to that process, you know, and ask good questions and be honest, right? And then you can start getting real answers. But then it's time to execute, you know, all, like we talk about, all these things sound great. Man, they're delivered on a high level, especially the way you delivered what you just delivered with that process. But putting it into action is much easier said than done, right?
It is. And so I love the three E process that you just explained, because I think the fourth E ruins it all, and that's ego.
Oh, yeah.
I think in order to break the ego or have the right ego, yeah. Ego's fine, but have the right level of ego and mm-hmm. identity. I think you need to have identity, not ego.
Yeah.
I think you do those three E's, to me, because that's the holdback in most coaches, whether it's a sport coach,
yep.
And whether the reason he's not letting me do a certain thing in the weight room is because he doesn't have control. What's the real issue? What's the real issue?
Yeah.
Because I just said they don't want slower, weaker athletes that get hurt more. What's the real issue? Well, they want recognition. What's that real issue? It's ego.
Yeah.
And same thing for me. You know, if I'm yelling at a kid because he's not doing X, Y, and Z, or he's going to a personal trainer. I know you talked about that last week. He's going to a personal trainer and he gets better. And I'm angry. What am I really angry at? That the kid got better? What am I really angry at?
God, it's so jacked up.
No, I'm angry that it wasn't me recognized. Well, your bench press went up for me. Don't forget, I've been doing bench press. Oh, yeah, me. I lived in that land. I lived in that land. That's why I love that episode that you did. And I love Andy. I think he does it the right way. And I think we need to have more conversations with people like that, not less.
Yeah.
And then get our dang egos out of the way.
Yep.
Now, listen, you could sit here and you can listen to those eight things that I talk about when I talk about belief and excellence and wisdom and discipline and perseverance and attitude and service and passion. And you can look at those eight things and you can say, ah, that's great, coach. I'm glad you came up with that.
You got to put that on a pretty wall in a doctor's office somewhere.
I didn't come up with it. Right. First of all, let's be very clear here. You don't like the things that I just said. You could take it up with Peter because it's 2 Peter 1:5-7. So that was written a long time ago. And you go back and you don't understand what I just said because that didn't sound very scriptural. That didn't sound very spiritual. Yeah. Go read that little section. And I don't care whether you're religious, spiritual, or anything. Those things matter. If you just heard what I just said, you'd probably said, yeah, I need to start that path. But that's where that came from. So you got an issue. You don't bring it up with me. You can kind of bring it up with that author one day.
I love that. Yes, that's great. That's such a great way to put it. You know, I mean, let's talk about something timeless. You know, these principles. You know, everybody wants to talk about strength conditioning principles, right? There's life principles too.
It is. And that's the whole, I guess I bring that up, you know, half jokingly, but the other part is that's where it hit me.
Yeah.
It's just one day just sitting there and really wasn't paying attention. I was at church, wasn't paying attention. And I'm sitting there and I'm just flipping through and read a section and said, man, what am I reading here? And I really checked on some stuff and thought, man, I need to be a better person. In order to be the person that I was meant to be, I should follow these steps. And I started thinking about it deeper, and I started about thinking about the things I wasn't doing in the weight room. I was thinking about the things that I wasn't doing to connect to people, because it's not communication, it's connection. Listen, communication's a part of connection. Mm-hmm. But man, why wasn't I connecting?
Yeah.
You know, why wasn't, and how do I break this ego, and how do I do things the right way so that when I leave a place, I feel good?
Let me ask you this. I talked about this last week with Andy a little bit, and I think you're going to give some great insight on it about how, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but a lot of times wisdom comes with pain because of mistakes we've made. And we look back and go, ah, golly, man. But having mentors can help expedite and help avoid a lot of pain. But let's talk about seeking out mentor and what that looks like. And that doesn't necessarily mean older. We hit on that earlier.
That's right.
But also at the same time, Gary, can we find ways as we start to get poured into, we can take, you know, you want to get spiritual, we take the discipleship model and how we find somebody to pour into too. Yep. We're being poured into. Let's pour out into someone else.
Yeah. I believe coaches are sponges, and especially or younger coaches are sponges. So they're going to listen to the podcast. They're going to ingest articles and blogs, mm-hmm. and they're going to download courses. At some point you need to squeeze that sponge out in order for it to get more stuff in. So, right. you know, a young coach like you needs to do podcasts. It needs to write. You need to speak. You know, a lot of times people will say, oh, you know, young coaches or people that haven't been in it for a while should just sit and learn. I'm like,
their stripes haven't been earned.
Yeah. But here's what I would tell you. You have to squeeze that sponge out, man. You're eventually going to stop learning. And that's what happens. It's not the 10,000 hour rule. If you listen to or read Grit or listen to anything Angela talks about, you go in and do things for 10. There are plenty of people that do 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, but they do the same thing every single dang day.
Yeah.
And they don't get better. So in order to innovate and create and go, you have to squeeze that sponge out. So I think that's one. I think that's important. I think because I'm going to start with that, and I'm going to tell you that I think mentors aren't age dependent.
Yeah.
And I think, and I said this before, and I mean this, I think you know way more than I know in the field of strength and conditioning. And people are like, wait a minute, what did he just say? And I'm being
flattering.
Being very honest, knowledge is what it is. Right. You know, like Rich Burnett, who replaced me, my assistant that became the head guy at strength coach, knows far more than I currently guy. Know.
Oh, yeah.
Far more. And anything other than that is my ego speaking. That's mm-hmm. truth. Now, do I think I have wisdom because I've been in places he hasn't been, and maybe I've been in situations you haven't been? Yes. So I think both things can coexist. So here's what I would tell you about mentorship. Mentorship, by the way, isn't some dude walking ahead of you, telling you how it's done. He walks alongside you mm-hmm. to try to make you the next best version of you. So I think you need to surround yourself with that. If you read the book Wild at Heart or things like that, when we were young growing up, to flashback a little bit, and I know I'm older than everybody, and yes, I existed when internet wasn't there, and you know, you could run around a neighborhood and wait till the streetlights came on. And I know it sounds like I grew up in the 50s. No, it was 80s, which I know is 1,000 years ago. But
right.
But nonetheless, when you grew up, how many friends do you have? True friends. Friends that knew everything about you. Friends that knew stuff your mom and dad didn't know. How many friends do you have? How many guys you pal with?
A few. I mean,
most of us had like 4, 6.
Yeah.
You know, guys.
I had a core group.
And gals. You know? Yeah. We got our core group.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get older. What do you got now? And what ends up happening is, well, I got a couple guys at work. Yeah. Do they know stuff?
They don't know me.
No, they don't. And you don't want them to.
We were just talking about that with my wife the other day. I was like, because my wife likes to go, my wife is really good at this. She's got two or three that she's poured her life into. And she's a stay-at-home mom. You got stay-at-home mom friends. You know, environment sets up. But we just talked about with me. I was like, she asked me the other day, Cody, how many close guy friends do you have? Not coworkers.
Yeah.
Not guys that you tweet with.
No, people that know me. They know the me that I don't want many people to know.
I was like, maybe one. No. Maybe.
Well, wait a minute. What happened? And so I think that's not the way we were meant to be. I don't think that it's the way it was designed to be. I think it's the way that we've compartmentalized and controlled things that we shouldn't control. So mentorship is also about creating that accountability to hold me accountable to be the next best version of myself. So one part of it is, I have a core group. You know, some people refer to it as an inner circle that I have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also have people in my corner too, that are even tighter. So I have that, but I also have professional mentors too. So I have personal, right? My core personal. So I think you need to have two things. You have my core personal connection, my inner circle of people that they know what I'm struggling with and they know what I'm succeeding on, and they help me with that. But then I also, you know, spiritually, a guy that leads me that way is half my age.
Yeah.
Why? But he's spent way more time in an area that I haven't spent in. That's my mentor.
It's like a training age, guys. Yeah, just like training age. Right. Just because a dude is 20 years old and never touched a barbell, then you've got a kid that's 14, like the kid that Travis Mash trains.
Yeah.
That's, holy cow, his training age through the roof. He's only 16 years old or whatever. Yep. So it's very, that runs 100%. A very similar path.
That's exactly right. So I try to surround myself. Yeah, I have Vern Gambett as a mentor of mine. That's great. And you can look at that and you're like, well, that's an older guy. That's great. But yeah, you know what? So isn't Micah Kurtz. And you're like, wait a minute, a lot younger than you, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been in places that I haven't. And I lean on him in those places. I lean on Rich Burnett in places that I haven't spent a lot of time, and they're my mentors in those areas. And when, you know, when I'm going to do something, I lean on them. And I, you know, in this day and age of social media and posting and quick stuff, if I feel like I'm going to post something in a certain area to a certain thing, I reach out to some of my mentors and go, how's this look professionally? And some of my personal guys, I'm like, is this my ego speaking or is this me speaking? Because again, I think we should be calling each other up and not calling each other out.
Yeah.
And I think too many of us call each other out. And again, if you get to the real reason, if I get to the real root of a thing, it's like, this is unacceptable. Look what this coach is doing. If I get to the real reason, it's hidden. The outside issue
is,
hey, listen, I am too. And I love that you say that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it starts.
Right.
But when we look at it, the outward, that was bad and you want to help someone. I get it. But the real reason is because I do it better.
Yeah.
That's the real reason. It's not this guy does it bad. The real reason is I do it better.
Yeah.
You should follow me.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't do that. If you do it better, here's the deal. Share what you do. Don't point out that guy. Share what you do. Because here's the deal. By pointing out the bad in people, you know what we're doing? We're recognizing them. Don't. Quit following them. Don't follow them. Don't recognize them. Don't retweet it. Things go viral here that should never go viral.
Yep.
And you're like, well, we're learning from it. No, you're not. No, you're not. No one needs to see that.
Yeah.
No one needs to see the car wreck. I wish that evening news didn't show those things. Instead, they showed the things that people do well.
Yeah. That's literally a tweet just went viral yesterday. And if you're listening to this, you've seen it. If you're on Twitter of the youth football, did you see it?
I did.
And I think it's gotten up to like 50,000 views now. And everybody's like, and I saw somebody comment like, what good did this do?
100%. That's a great example. Like, none of us think that that's the right thing to do. Great. Show the right thing.
But 50,000 people have seen it now.
But you know what 50,000 people should see?
That's not right.
No. You know what they should see?
What?
They should have seen the right way.
Yeah. Right.
Like what we're focusing on is the wrong way. And again, I get it. We share it because we don't want people to repeat it. I get it. Like, yeah, you're not arguing with me, but in there somewhere, you're sharing that because you do it better.
It's part of it. Yeah.
So show me.
Yeah.
Show me that.
Solutions, not problems.
Correct. Show me that. That's right. Quit focusing on the problem. Show me the solution. Again, the evening news, they're going to tell you how many people got shot last night. They're not going to tell you the guy that walked down and, you know, built the backyard fence for the old man that the wind blew it down. Not going to show you that. Not going to show you that. Because that's not news. That's not catchy. That's not cool. That doesn't go viral.
Yeah.
You know what I want to know? Just I want to know the right thing.
Yeah.
So when it comes to strength and conditioning, let's get back to strength and conditioning real quick.
Yeah.
Don't show me the flash and pizzazz. Don't make fun of other people. Oh, look at all that. You know, I could call a group out that has a movement pattern and they make fun of other people that don't do a specific movement pattern. Just show me what you do and explain it.
Yeah.
Leave other people out. Don't show me that this trainer's hurting guys and blowing ACLs.
Yeah.
Don't show me that. You know what you should show me? Show me what you do. Mm-hmm. And let me decide whether that fits my model or not.
You know, that's
educate me.
That's really popular on social media, is the ones who are quick to point that out for that ego. With and majority of the time, the ones doing it are the ones with little skin in the game. Yeah. I don't see a lot of strength coaches who provide value also doing that, to be honest.
They don't last long. They disappear. They come and go. They're like the wind. But
yeah,
but to me, it's if we focused on, listen, if you do something, because that the group that I'm kind of mentioning right now,
yeah,
they have some reality to it. There's actually some good stuff in there. Yeah. It's getting lost in the garbage that you're throwing out of making other people, pointing out other people. So don't do that. Don't get tossed in the garbage pile, yeah, of social media.
Yep.
Be something different.
No doubt. You know, it's, and it's hard. I get it. You know, I've had my own social media journey of learning and doing that. And I've had, thank goodness that I have some people who really care about me who will just pick up their phone and call me and go, man, what was that about? What was that about? Like, how much did you help somebody? Well, coach is not, I don't want to hear it. Like my pitching coach in college, he's an assistant AD at Montevallo now, but the guy that recruited me, talk about a guy who, transformation, that cares about me as a person. Past, I haven't picked up a baseball in 5 years. You know, he's calling me to say, dude, I know Cody, you're better than that. And that was probably the biggest check for me. This happened probably 2 years ago. And I've even had people DM me on Twitter and be like, hey, you've kind of calmed your fire, man. And I was like, well, I'm just redirecting my fire for solutions rather than pointing out problems. And I'm glad somebody had the courage that loved me enough and said, no, man, you're better than that. And that comes back down to like mentors, mm-hmm, and accountability, whether it's accountability from your AD, whether it's accountability from your coach, accountability from your whoever, you know, friends. Like, you don't realize, these high school kids don't realize when coach stops coaching you, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
That's not good. When coach is holding you accountable and trying to love you through things and has the courage to let you know that you're not walking the right path, that's not judgment. No, you're judging me. I'm like, no, I love you. There's a difference there. Huge difference between judgment without the relationship connection part. You know, there's a phrase that when it comes to parenting, I'm a new father, got a 2-year-old, man, I'm figuring this thing out. He's a wild, wild child, about how rules without relationship leads to rebellion. I don't know if you've ever heard that one. That's, mm-hmm, a pretty famous phrase of kids aren't going to, you know, do what they're supposed to do or whatever. It's not going to be genuine, and they may obey because maybe they're taught that. I heard you talk about discipline earlier. How often is discipline disguised as obedience? They're not the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Or punishment.
Yeah.
You know, or the bad stuff. The discipline is the bad stuff that you get for not doing the right thing. Now, that's not the opposite of discipline. Discipline are the choices that I make that allow me to do the great things in life.
Yeah.
Like that's the, but again, everything in life gets skewed, man. It's because we live in it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm going to sit here and people are going to say, well, coach, go, it sounds like you got all the answers. Baloney. Remember the way back machine I said I would jump in?
Right.
Like literally. And that means like yesterday. Like I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to go 180 degrees from the way that I was. You know, if anything, like he started with a legend. I don't want to listen. If I could do anything in my life, I mean this is being very transparent. I would change all of that and have no one know me. if I could have spent a little bit more time doing the right things. Now, that doesn't mean I lived an awful life. I'm not trying to be like, well, humble Joe either.
Yeah.
But I'm recognizing.
Right.
I'm recognizing that I didn't live the life that I could have lived.
Sure.
And so I'm just trying to change that, man. I'm just trying to live in that. And to me, it's, we talked about leaders, right? You talked about whether it's the sport coach or whether it's an admin or whether you as a strength coach at the high school level that are going to try to be a leader. Leadership comes down to three things for me. You can really start focusing on this. Like, why would you want to follow me? Because that's the question we have to ask.
Okay.
I want to be a leader. Okay. Why do you want to follow me? I'm driving back to Atlanta today. Why do you want to follow me, Cody? Why would you want to get in a car and follow me? It really easy. It comes down to three things. One, I've been there before. Like, you should probably follow someone that's been there before. If I've never been to Atlanta, why the heck would you want to follow me?
Yeah.
Okay. Because by being there, I know when to take certain roads and when not to.
Yeah.
I know when traffic's going to hit and when it won't. I don't care what the GPS says. We're going this way because right. I have been there. And I know the most efficient and effective way to get you there. Oh. Okay. Well, if I'm a strength coach, why should I listen to you when I'm going to this personal trainer or when I'm listening to my dad? Because I've been there and I know the most efficient and effective way. And if you're going to that personal trainer, tell me about it so that I can now add that to my repertoire and get you where you want to be. So that's your mission. Mm-hmm. And I want to get you where you want to be. Your difficult but desirable outcome.
Yeah.
I want to get you there in the most efficient and effective way. That's step one, number one. Step number two is the journey's about you, not me. Because how many people have you followed that blow through a red light and leave you hanging?
No doubt. Yeah, like, that's a great analogy.
Hey, wait a minute. What about me?
Yeah.
No, no, no. It's about me getting there. No, no, no. That way it's not, you know, when you get to the end, I'm not posting, worked with this athlete. Yeah. So proud of this athlete. Again, right. Those are all subtitles where I get why we do it and it's awesome and I've done it. But there's a little bit of, that's because I worked with him.
Yeah.
In the background, right?
Right, right.
It's about me. Now the journey is about other people. The journey is about other people. So to me, you know, are we focusing on those things with leadership or are we, you know, have I been there before? Am I going to choose the most efficient and effective method? And is the journey about you? That's why you want to follow me, man. Cause I'm going to do those three things.
Yeah.
That's why you want to follow me. If you don't, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's leadership. You know, and I think that comes from being a good person, right? So it's what right. we talked about before. I think in order to get to be a leader, you got to do that. Not everybody. This is the other thing I hate. Not everybody can be a leader. No one wants to talk about that.
Yeah.
It's like, everyone should have leadership. Listen, everybody's going to have an opportunity to lead.
Can you lead if you can't be a good follower? What do you think about that?
I think it's difficult. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
You can't lead if you don't have any followers.
Yeah.
I do know that. Like, everyone's a leader. Great. Well, no.
Leading
no,
what?
Who's leading then? If no one's following.
Yeah.
Like at some point, a head coach is a head coach for a reason.
Right.
Like, listen, there's going to be opportunities for everybody to lead, but that means there's going to be opportunities for everybody to follow.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not one better than the other. Like, there were points in my life where I have to be a good follower.
Yes.
There are parts. And there are parts where it's going to be asked of me to be a good leader. So everyone needs leadership skills, but you're not always going to be a leader.
Yeah.
It just depends on where you're at, right? Even as a strength coach.
Mm-hmm.
So my admin's going to ask me to do certain things that I need to follow.
You know, that's such a great point. How many coaches do you hear like, you know, we lack leadership. You guys are like, we're not doing a good job of, our leaders aren't leading, but you don't, how many conversations and how many skills have you tried to equip your kids with being able to follow? I mean, being able to lead, sorry. Like, have you even discussed the difference between the two and what that looks like? Have you talked like leadership looks like this, not just yelling at a kid for when that doesn't look like leadership, when they don't even know what it is in the first place. You know, that's like going out there and telling a kid, hey, run this play. Well, what am I doing? Do it. And then they don't know what they're prepared for.
Sorry.
They didn't prepare for this team. They make a mistake that you've never worked on in practice. Why are you mad?
Yeah, my good friend Jeremy Boone talks about leadership is questions, management statements. Squat here to this depth. Leadership is, why are we squatting to that depth? What did you feel there? Tell me how deep, what does that guy look like? What are his feet doing? That's given that opportunity to get feedback.
Yeah.
Leadership demands questions to be asked as opposed to statements to be given. Management, there's a big difference between leadership and management. We confuse as strength coaches.
Okay.
Management with leadership.
Yeah.
I run a very tight ship weight room. I blow the whistle and they all do things when they blow the whistle. No one gets out of place. Everyone does things right. We put the equipment back. Like, you know, if I'm spin around and look at this weight room, it's an unbelievably well-managed weight room.
Yeah.
Things are exactly where they should be. And that's awesome because management's not bad either.
Right.
Just like following's not bad. It ain't leadership. Leadership is getting the kids to be able to do that and understand why. Understand why. Well, coach doesn't want that there. Why? Because he's going to yell at me. No, that's not good. Coach wants it there because when we need it, we know where it's going to be. And we're taking care of it as if we paid for it.
Now it's about us, not about me.
100%. That's leadership. Now you're giving them an opportunity to lead. Because again, we talked about it before. These kids want to be empowered.
Yes, they do. They want structure. They want to be empowered. They
but
want
if
it.
You don't hold them accountable, then you all you're doing is entitling the kids.
Yeah.
And kids that go to our schools, both of us, entitlement is almost
built in almost.
Correct. So, but what do they need? Accountability.
Yeah.
And guess who else needs it? We as strength coaches.
100%. Yeah. That's super powerful. Well, coach, we're rolling at about an hour here. One last thing I want to touch on, I think is important when what you guys do at play. I think that, you know, Mike Bewley has stepped into a great role with the education and what you guys do. And there's been a lot of buzz about the Play Academy. You know, you want to touch on that? Because if there's one thing, you know, educate, equip, empower what we do at the NHSSCA and me being involved in the organization as well, that education's one, and wondering where can I go to get educated to learn? Because that's that, guys, I know many growth mindset football coaches, baseball, basketball, volleyball coaches that run weight rooms that are better strength coaches than guys that have 12 letters behind their name. And we understand that. But education and people that have that professional and personal development plan we talked about, there's got to be some resources out there. One, I put out resources myself. If you can ask me, you know, I have ebooks available, courses available, conversations available. I'm open. Coach Sko has the same thing. He's put on summits. He's open doors. But as far as places to go, first and foremost, if you're training high school kids and you're not a member of the NHSSCA, I personally think you're really missing out. $100 a year is just an absolute deal. I mean, it's ridiculous. And you have all these different things you can go on there with people who have been where you haven't been to help you do things. So you've got that on the website, but also with the Play Academy, give us a little more information on that and what that's doing for the industry.
Yeah, Play Academy is a just an unbelievable resource that Coach Bewley, a head strength and conditioning coach for a long time, I've been highly active to try to make sure that the high school is well represented there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a combination of great professional development resources on a platform that builds personal connections.
Okay.
So it's professional content, personal connections. I'll shoot out Simply Faster is an unbelievable resource.
Yes.
So in this day and age of technology, education is not about finding it. It's about finding good stuff. It's about knowing what to do with it when you get it. So you got to have a good resource. Yeah. I love the platform like a Simply Faster because it vets out what it does.
Yeah.
So Play Academy is very similar, but it has so there's a working relationship there with somebody who does a Simply Faster, like Mark Hoover, mm-hmm. did a great session article blog for them. And then we turned it into almost a course. Like it basically takes an hour long presentation and then they could be bigger than that. And it parses it down into smaller subparts with a video. So 5-minute little sections that you can do interspersed throughout the day. It has a group that you can connect with, see other people who have listened to this, ask questions. So you almost get like this social media community component along with this professional development. We built out a 20-week high school mentorship. We talked about mentorship a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, originally, and it sold out. We only had 80 spots, and we'll have another one come this fall, another one come this spring. And the original one was, well, mentorship, but that must be for the young coaches. And we just talked about that.
Right.
No, we have some young coaches as mentors, and we have some Hall of Fame coaches as mentees in there. And then what you realize real quick, about three weeks in, we had people literally emailing, well, this is about the community. This isn't about any one individual.
Yeah. Like,
no, that's what this is all about. Now you have 79 other people that are in your corner, in your inner circle that you can reach to. Some people know different things. So it's a great resource where we go over speed, agility. We go over coaching identity. We go over that ikigai. We go over creating your mission statement. We actually, the first month is all about that.
Yeah.
We don't even get into set reps.
Love it.
But then we dive into some set reps. They can get some deep stuff. And so there's a high school component. So we'll do that all the time. There's an athletic director component. We have a technology masterclass coming out.
Oh, 12-week
course, GPS, heart rate monitoring, velocity-based training, force plates, force decks, jump mats, all of those components. How do you integrate that into your curriculum?
Right.
12-week period with some experts in the field that you can ask questions on and dive into those questions. You talked about velocity-based training earlier today. Mm-hmm. You'll actually be able to ask questions of people that are in the game and people that aren't in the game. Same way with you, and ask those questions and grow. That's what Play Academy is doing, which is pretty cool. It's one of the reasons I always said, and you can look back on it, why I chose Play when I left wasn't just the roadblock part. It's the company that I believe just does as much for the profession as they expect from it.
Yeah.
Most companies want from and don't necessarily give a bunch of for.
Yeah.
But they do.
Yeah.
And it's by the way, it's $1.99 a month. So it's less than $25 a year. You get access to unbelievable resources and people. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking time first and foremost to come down here and hang out and spread this knowledge, man. This episode is going to be great. I can't wait to hear the feedback from you guys, hear it. Last thing before we roll, where can coaches find you?
Yeah, so all over, obviously, social media. So, I got Coach Schofield on Twitter, NHSSCA Facebook page. I'm all over that. You'll see that. But you can get that if you need me. My email is real simple, gary.schofield@play.us. I give that out all the time. Send me an email. I'll be glad to jump on a phone with anybody. I'm available just like you are. I've lived a life. I love to connect, and don't hesitate.
Good deal. Well, all right, Coach. We'll let you go, and we'll catch you guys next week. See ya.